Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Nick and JP back on Afternoon Drive. We do have Aditi Kinkabwala coming up in 2 hours' time. We'll pick her brain about where the Browns are. But you heard the dulcet tones of Ross Tucker on the Browns-Ravens call. You hear him now, as you do every single week. On the line is Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Ross, I did that one just for you, buddy.
Yeah, so you didn't, I mean, it was better, but there's a jingle. You say, yeah. Like, Nationwide is on your side.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
Somehow you incorporate the jingle is the point, number one. Number two, yes, I specifically referenced 4 o'clock on Wednesdays with you guys on air. I think that's be more than 5 points. I couldn't say your names because then they'd be like, what are you plugging these guys? And I'd get in trouble. I couldn't say Odyssey or 92.3 The Fan, but everybody knows who I mean. And I got a bunch of social posts about it at Ross Tucker NFL, by the way, Nick, in case you didn't know. And so thank you to everyone that did that. And it's true. While Flacco was out there with however much time was left, I was thinking, oh my gosh, I know exactly what everybody in Cleveland's thinking right now, and I know what Nick is going to ask me. Nick and John are going to ask me on Wednesday.
All right, so one, you're right. There's 10 points to you. But if you incorporate the names, much like the Nationwide, if you incorporate the jingle...
The names are the jingle of it all.
Yeah, they really are. Yeah. It really ties the whole bit together. But I don't want you to hear that part. I only want you to hear, you done good, Ross, because you done mighty good by us.
You know what I just thought of? If the situation presents itself again, I'm going to say, I go on, I know on Wednesday, Jonathan and his buddy, or Jonathan and his co-host are going to ask me.
That'd be so
That'd
funny.
That'd be the funniest thing ever.
Here's the thing. It'd be a massive D move, but no one would appreciate it more than me.
Every week in Cleveland radio, I go on with Jonathan and his sidekick, and I'm telling you, they're going to have to.
All right, Ross, you said you'd answer the question. You were waiting for Wednesday to answer the question. Can you answer the question for us about what this all means for Joe Flacco?
Yeah, I mean, I was disappointed for him because I like Flacco. He's a Philly guy. He's an awesome dude. And he was playing fine, and they were, he's playing fine for a while. And they were in the game, and I think maybe as big of an issue is that there was a bunch of times when he went to drop back, and nobody was open, which I think is a problem. But then obviously, the thing I love about Flacco and Philly people and Cleveland people or whatever is I'm sure his dad and his brothers and even Joe would be the first one to tell you he cannot throw that pass he threw, right? Like, you cannot do that. It's a competitive game. The Browns, to win games, are going to have to win, by not turning it over more than the opponent. And also, they got to win special teams. Like, this iteration of the Browns, Flacco or no Flacco, if they lose a turnover battle, they're dead. If they lose special teams like that, a block punt, a pretty big return, they're also dead, especially against a good team like the Ravens. I mean, the defense is going to keep them in games, and I think Flacco, for the most part, is going to keep them in games, and then they can pull some out, but not when he has – I mean, even the fumble, I don't really think the guy even knocked it out of his hand. It looked like it came out when Joe went to brace. So it was a bad pick. It happens. I'm sure I would do it all the time if I was a quarterback. I'd be frustrated. I'd be annoyed, and I would just be like, all right, I'm just going to chuck it. But you can't do that.
So I don't want to belabor too much in the Ravens game because obviously we're like the halfway point. You start to look ahead to Green Bay. But it's been interesting to listen to multiple different opinions come out about if that was a blowout, when it became a blowout. So it felt like the second half was an entire blowout from the fan perspective. For you, when did that game go from the Ravens are ahead and comfortably so to it was curtains and it was just a comedy of errors?
Well, so I don't remember the exact timing of it, but when he threw the pick, it was 13-3. So, yeah, as you can hear, I'm in the airport on my way to Buffalo to call Dolphins and Bills on radio tomorrow night, and then I got Colts Titans for CBS Sunday. Evidently, did I sit right underneath the microphone for that guy? Okay, so the speaker, like, did I really need to hear that back here in B4? No, it was when he threw the pick, it was 13-3, and they had the ball near midfield. And then I didn't remember this, but even after that, okay, the Ravens score, but then the Browns went down, and that's when the ball went through Humphrey's hands, which, by the way, that would have been a really bad look for Flacco if he threw a pick on the goal line right to Marlon Humphrey. But it went through his hands, and the Browns got a touchdown. Even at that point, it was 20-10. So they were right there. I don't exactly remember what happened after that, but you know, if you're within 10 points, that is not a blowout. That's not a comedy of errors. But then, you know, obviously the fumble return for a touchdown. I can't remember the order of what happened after that, but things certainly unraveled pretty quickly after that.
Ross, on the broadcast, you'd mentioned something we weren't privy to. You'd said that the Browns run a special post-practice period for Shedeur Sanders to get extra reps. What did you learn there, and what did you find out?
Yeah, so we asked Kevin in the production meeting on Saturday about the rookie quarterbacks, knowing that that's a storyline and knowing that there had been a report that, you know, he wasn't even doing scout team. And he said that they have a very, very detailed minute-by-minute plan for both of those guys and really all of their rookies, which, by the way, it appears as if they have, like, an outstanding rookie draft class. I mean, I thought Judkins did some positive things. I would like to see them take a deep shot to Bond at some point, you know, like a deep post or something. But, I mean, they really have four potentially legit offensive rookie skill guys with the two running backs, Fannin and Isaiah Bond, and then obviously Mason Graham was making plays. Oh my goodness. Schlesinger was making plays as well. So I think that they have a good draft and they're committed to playing those guys and developing those guys, which is encouraging. And so part of that's the quarterbacks, and to make sure, because, you know, the number two gets some reps. Not many, but the number two on an NFL team, like Gabriel, gets some reps. They want to make sure Shedeur is still getting reps in their offense, in their system. So when practice ends, they have basically a Shedeur period. You know, other teams do it, you know, for young guys, like a developmental period, but he gets an extra 8 to 10 reps just for him at the end of every practice.
Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider on the Fan Hotline. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. You earned that.
That's pretty good.
You earned that, and I hope you enjoyed it. What is a tougher task right now, beating Baltimore or beating the Packers, who the Browns face next?
Probably the Packers. As you guys know, I do the my power rankings on the Ross Tucker podcast, the critically acclaimed Ross Tucker podcast, every Tuesday. And this is the second week in a row I've had the Packers as the best team in football. I mean, think about what they did to the Lions offense. And then the Lions go out and put a 50-burger on the Bears. And then even think about what they did to the Commanders. I mean, the Commanders got a win week one by double digits, and then they go to Green Bay and they can't do anything. You know, Green Bay was already, I thought, a Super Bowl contender. And then when you add a guy that I think it's debatable between he and Miles as the best defensive player in football, you add that guy to the mix. Not only is it the production he gives you, it's the matchups he gives the other guys like Rashawn Gary. And then it's just a psychological boost. You know, I don't know if you guys saw what Keyshawn Nixon said. They said, you guys look like you're playing with a swagger this year. You know what? Why is that? And literally his answer was, we got Micah Parsons. You know, these guys, that you can't emphasize that enough. It's almost like when you're at the MLB trade deadline and you get like a, you know, you get a big bat or a big arm. Like everybody in Philly wanted the Kwan guy from you guys. Like that was like the big guy everybody wanted, was we got to get Kwan from the Guardians, blah, blah, blah. It just gives a boost to the whole locker room when you do that, especially like a DB, right? So let's pretend you're a DB. You just got one of the two best pass rushers in the NFL. Think, wouldn't you be more confident to be a little bit more aggressive earlier in the route, not being as worried about the guy beating you late or beating you with a double move or whatever, because you don't think that they'll really even have the time because you got Micah? I mean, there's a lot of different layers to this.
Yeah, I mean, Packers defense is obviously very good. Through two games, the Browns defense is second in the league in yards per play allowed. They've allowed the fewest first downs per game. And you can make an argument, Ross, like, yeah, the light bulb went on for the Ravens once they saw Denzel Ward not on the field, and they're like, let's go after Cam Mitchell. Let's go after Miles Harden. And then it just became easy for him. But if Denzel Ward is back and on the field, is the recipe in this Packers game, just is it going to be a defensive slugfest between the two?
It needs to be. I think the Browns have a top 10 defense and maybe even higher than that as the season goes forward. You know, as far as I can tell, they only really have one weakness, and that is the nickelback position and maybe and/or cornerback depth, depending on how you want to describe it. I thought Todd Monken, the OC for the Ravens, did a good job of getting those guys isolated. And that's actually a huge, I don't know if I was clear about this enough during the broadcast. Maybe I was. Somebody hit me up on Twitter and said I did a good job with it. But I can't emphasize enough how frustrating it is when a professional football player doesn't know where their help is. You know, both of those touchdowns to Tez Walker, they didn't know where their help was. Ronnie Hickman was in the middle of the field. And by the way, Ronnie Hickman's in the middle of the field for them. When you have a middle of the field safety, okay, the pressure is on the two outside guys because they don't really have any help. The middle of the field safety can't help the corners on the outside, right? But he is there for the nickel. You know, he's got him protected over the top. He's got him protected in the middle. In both instances, for those guys to get beat to the corner, the only place they don't have help is extremely frustrating. Schwartz must have been losing his mind. I thought he called a really good game. I think they have a really good defense. If those guys just know what they're doing, forget even being good cover guys, if those guys just know what they're doing, you know, the Browns defense would have been even better if they had just forced them to Ronnie Hickman. And you have to in the NFL. It's so hard to cover these guys, or in my case, block these guys. I always knew where my help was, and I used the crap out of my help because I wasn't good enough to block guys one-on-one. That those guys are making it so almost, they're making it impossible on themselves, which is why Walker was wide open both times.
Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider on the Fan Hotline. You had Emory Hunt on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, critically acclaimed, I might add. And he had made, and something we're actually going to talk about later in this hour, he had claimed Shador and Ward and Cam Ward are better than any of the 2026 draft quarterbacks. I didn't get a chance to see your reaction to that. I'm just curious whether you agree with Emory Hunt about the 2026 class so far.
Well, so first of all, I'm not one of those guys that sits there and like breaks down the tape of Garrett Nussmeier and Arch Manning. Now, certainly I watch the games when they're on, and I think it's very clear so far that, you know, the narrative coming into the year, and I think that the Browns, just based on their what they did in the draft, probably agreed with it, was that this year's draft class, this upcoming year's draft class, would be a better one for quarterbacks. And everybody's talking about you know, Nussmeier and Arch Manning and Drew Aller and all these guys, I got to be honest with you, I don't really think any of them are playing very well. I mean, I watch a lot of Penn State football living in Central PA. Aller's been just okay. Nussmeier had a crazy interception the other night, which I couldn't believe. Arch Manning's been a major disappointment. So that will be interesting. You know, now there's other guys that people don't know as much about that are emerging, and there's still a lot of season to be played. Now, I think the NFL would disagree with Emery. I mean, the NFL might agree with Emery as far as Cam Ward's concerned, but pretty clearly the NFL would disagree with Emery as far as Shedeur Sanders is concerned. He's always been very, very high on Shedeur based on going back to Jackson State. You know, obviously the NFL does not agree with Emery's evaluation, but I thought that was very interesting because, you know, the thought is there's, you know, you look at any mock draft, they have like four or five quarterbacks going in the first round, and then you watch these guys and you're like, that's the guy that they think is going in the first round? Really? That's a first round quarterback right there? Doesn't look like it to me. But then the flip side is like Carson Beck looks awesome again this year, right? Whereas, you know, 2 years ago he's supposed to be good. Last year he was not good. Now he looks awesome again. So it's a little bit of an up and down roller coaster there.
Ross, I got to ask you about one of the big stories of the day. So obviously during the game, you saw DeJuan Jones gets taken out. After the game, Kevin Stefanski says it's a heat-related issue. And since that point, Stefanski has said, and now they've tried to sell us then the idea that it was pre-planned. DeJuan Jones says that it really wasn't a heat-related issue at all. Have you ever heard of a team saying we're going to have a pre-planned rotation taking a starting left tackle out in the middle of a game for heat issues that he says he wasn't actually experiencing?
Well, I haven't.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Exactly heard either one of those, so I'm just going off of what you're saying. I'll tell you what I definitely haven't seen before is a left tackle come in on second down, the starting left tackle to come back in the game on second down. I don't know what happened there. I can't remember. Was it a TV timeout or something, or was it the end of the quarter? But I know this, Leviston went out there and
it was the flag on Leviston.
Adafe Owe beat him like immediately. Mm-hmm. And then I think on that drive, at some point, DeJuan Jones came back into a game on a drive. So I don't know why he was out. That, you know, I think it can be pre-planned to get guys a breather. I'd be surprised. I am not familiar. To answer your question, Jonathan, I'm not familiar with a plan where you send the starting left tackle back out there mid-series, like on second down, unless it's an injury or unless like he was cramping up like Denzel Ward and he needed whatever, you know, needed fluids or treatment or whatever. And then when he was good, they're like, okay, get back out there for Leviston.
Ross, great stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate the shout out. You done good. You done Cleveland proud.
Well, thank you. My pleasure. I love Cleveland. You know how I feel about Browns fans. I'm like amazed how diehard you guys are. After all these years, it's incredibly impressive. And here's what I can say in all sincerity. Better times are ahead because it's not real good right now. So it almost necessarily, I don't know when those will be, but better times are ahead because it kind of has to be. And with all these rookies looking this good, as soon as they get a quarterback that can play, they'll be significantly better.
Excellent stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
Later, dude.
Later, dude. Ross Tucker there on the fan hotline. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. No, he didn't earn it. He didn't earn it. They just wasn't there.
He's off the phone line now. Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Total moment of cowardice. We'll react to his Shador piece there and everything else on the Browns in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. You know, that made a lot of headlines when he said it on the broadcast on Sunday and him kind of explaining it to us again. I do think it was interesting that there was a lot of, see, they're not sabotaging him. Not from Ross, but from kind of the reaction. And it's like, why are we still clinging to that part of the conversation? That it was an extreme amount of people that it wasn't about whether they were sabotaging with Shador. It's about whether they're giving him a fair chance to be part of what they're trying to do this year.
Yeah, I mean, because that's an investment in Shador, so I think that's nice. But it's not like the craziest investment. If at the end of this, them spending 8 to 10 reps outside of practice, mind you, on Shador, that isn't something that they are like they can really wax poetic about later and be like, we really did everything in our power.
I mean, I think it's interesting. We didn't really get into it because it was game week and it was kind of lost in the shuffle there. But like, it's interesting to watch the Browns play this game on two fronts. On one hand, they set everybody's expectation as low as you could by putting the report out there with Diana Rossini going into the Bengals game. Mm-hmm. Hey, he's not playing this year. Which is the kind of thing you say going into week one, but it's not a promise you can make across a full season knowing where this season could go.
Right. It also contradicts what the owner had said, too, by the way.
But it has its purpose for why that was out there, and it makes sense. And then you're also out here telling everyone, well, hey, don't worry. I mean, we got time for Shador, too. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of have your cake and eat it, too. And I think some of it might be that they understand that there's a hornet's nest there with Shador. The reality is, like, nothing has stopped me from thinking, not only am I going to see Dylan Gabriel this year, but at some point I'm going to see Shador. But how they roll out these two guys and when they...
Oh, you see, I'm not as sold on that at this point.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, I'm not as sold.
Have you given up hope?
A little bit, yes. And the idea that we're going to see Shador this year, yeah. I feel like it's going to be Dylan Gabriel. And I think in their mind, they think it's going to be Gabriel. And that's just until the end of the season.
No, I agree with you on that. That's what they think. You and I know football, though.
Well, and we know that a lot can happen, and we know that once the losing starts, it just keeps going. And I think in that instance, I almost look at them with Shador as if they're saving him, and they will continue to save him for some sort of, hey, maybe, just maybe, next year he's the break glass in case of emergency. I don't know. They've given me no impression to think that Shador's in the cards for them this year.
I'm just looking at it from... I think I'm more convinced now you're a 3-14 team. I said 4-13. I'm not going to downgrade it. I didn't talk to any special Browns quarterbacks. I didn't talk to Cody Kessler yet.
Yes.
So I'm not going to downgrade my opinion. But I think they are a 4-13 team, and I think you might even be lucky to get there if you can't pull the nose up on this thing. And when you factor that in, like, I don't know. Maybe Kevin Stefanski has no plans of starting Shador. That could be a real problem for him late in the season. If he's like, well, we've seen 10 weeks of Dylan Gabriel and I need to see three more. Well, that's when maybe Big Jim there decides to step in and make some sort of executive decision.
And that's
decision.
What I'm hoping. I'm hoping beyond hope that that's what Jimmy Haslam then steps in and is like, well, all right, we got to see the other rookie then.
Oh, see,
but I could just as easily see Stefanski say, all right, it's Bailey Zappi time now.
See, what I need it to be Kevin's decision.
I don't think it's going to be.
I need Kevin to show me that he can evolve in the pressure of what could be. I'm not giving up yet. I'm not going to be a naysayer about this. I'm not going to, like, Sunday's game pissed me off because it was non-competitive. Not just, like, I've dealt with losing before. I haven't forgotten what that's like in you know, looking for silver linings. I'm not going to, the sky's not on fire yet, as long as you keep it competitive. But I need Kevin to show me that he can pivot in season without using it to buy him security, without being forced to do it. Because I think Kevin's camp, and I'm going to say his agent has done a good job of getting us out there, maybe Kevin has as well, they've done a good job of hiding behind the perceived dysfunction with everybody else, which has allowed Kevin to go untethered and untouched from any criticism. The decision on Dylan and how soon they play him, that's going to have a big bearing on whether I truly expect at some point to see Shador. I have a feeling we're like 2 weeks away, if that, from seeing Dylan. And if that's true,
I mean, I hope you're right.
If you're on 3-14 trajectory, week 12, week 13, week 14, and you just go, yeah, the kid's not ready. It's like, well, it's apparent you're still losing a lot of games. Maybe Dylan Gabriel wasn't ready.
Well, and it'll remain true, too, at that point, if they're even thinking about Shador, that I want to see what these rookies can do. And having Shador play is much better than having Bailey Zappe play. But I just, they've given me no reason to believe that they're going to, at any point this season, go to Shador.
I think that is where we don't have as media. We don't have the ultimate end-all, be-all kind of power to do things. But do the fan base in this town have an influence on that team? Yes, they've shown you multiple times that they pay very much attention to what fans are thinking. At points, it's been to their own detriment. Have they maybe, even if they haven't directly done it, have they in some way shown you that they pay attention to what the media says and what the temperature is out there? 100%. And this is where I do think, like...
Well, I think it's in their best interest, by the way, to play Shador. I think it could be a saving grace of sorts. They've given me no reason to think that he's nothing more than something they'll consider in year two, but not year one.
But I think that's why. I think that's where this thing matters. I think if you're 10 games into Dylan Gabriel and you're 1-9, okay. Yeah, we can see more of that the next year. You're going to need to see more of Shador this year. And we're going to play the Emery Hunt stuff coming up, but that's a part of it. Like, if you go through this season and you're 3-14, 4-13, maybe even 5-12, which feels real rosy at this point, if you are that and you don't play both quarterbacks, it's foolish. It's not, well, we're protecting the kid. It's not, he wasn't ready. It's not, well, we weren't sold on him. No, it's foolish. I watched you play DTR 3 years into that dude sucking in the NFL so you could make the definitive end-all, be-all. Does he suck? Play. I don't need those games last year.
No disagreement for me on that. I'd love to see Shador out there. I'm kind of like beaten down when it comes to the will the Browns take care of Shador and do this in any sort of way that I think they should. And I just, at every turn, they just don't. By the way, little update on this one. The injury report today had Joel Bitonio missing practice. And earlier today, I think a lot of people thought it was just a Veterans Day off. Mm-hmm. The injury report says it's with a back injury.
All right. So, Tevin Jenkins, you might, or Zach Zinter, you might be next man up there. 216-474-0092. I guess we'll start here. Are you starting to have curiosity about the other quarterbacks and an entirely new reason for the Browns fans and to all Browns fans to sound the alarm? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Emery Hunt, football game plan, CBS Sports, who joins the Ross Tucker Football Podcast every week, and something that Emery, who was a staunch in his love of Cam Ward and Shador Sanders, had to say when comparing those two quarterbacks with the prospective class for 2026.
Shador and Cam Ward are far and above better than whoever the top quarterback would be in this class. The second part of it is that you could see how groupthink permeates throughout the rest of the narrative in the media landscape, because you have people that get hung on these names, right? Nussmeier, Aller, you talk about Klubnik, and you talk about Arch Manning, right? Arch Manning was number one with a bullet in everybody's mock draft, right? Based on 95 passes. But that kind of focused everybody's attention on just those names. And everybody's just kind of recycling the same five names. If everybody just zoomed out and did what they were supposed to do and just evaluated the whole class, you'd see the Taylen Green. You'd see the Haynes King. They're the same guy. They're playing the same doggone game.
So the thing I like about this is that, and something that Emery does a lot, is pokes at groupthink in football.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that a lot.
Yeah.
Now, what I would say is I think it's wildly unfair, whether I like Shador, don't like Shador, like Cam Ward, don't like Cam Ward, to compare.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Those guys, as finished products from last April, or really the end of last year, to guys 3-4 games into this season.
It's just too early to do any of it, and it's going to be how we look at this. I mean, that's the reality. Like, I think about when we did the Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward lead up to the draft conversation last year, and like February, the first person, it might have even been Albert, that we had on that was like, there's 5 quarterbacks from last year's class that are better than this year's class. Like, it's just what we do. It's eventually how we all look at these things, but it's just way too early in the conversation to be doing this with this class versus last year.
And here's the other thing. At this point, we're talking like, if we're comparing 3 games of tape from this year, from their tape from their last season in college, at this point, the only thing I can really compare is the physical tools. Lenoris Sellers, because of his ability to run and move, on top of his ridiculous physical upside, absolutely has a higher upside than Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, he didn't mention Lenoris there. He mentioned everyone but Lenoris.
Drew Aller. And I know it's tough because you look and you go, well, I don't think he's special. I get that. But he's 6'5". He's 235 pounds. He's not the most mobile guy in the world, but he can move. And he's got a really strong arm and some really, really, really good traits. Higher ceiling than certainly Shedeur. I'm not sure about Cam Ward. That might be more of a one-for-one. He is bigger, and I do think he has just as strong of arm as Cam Ward, so that's that. So, like, you start to go through it, and what we're like, I do think almost every player that we've talked about, being a potential number one pick next year, has higher physical upside then certainly Shedeur and potentially Cam Ward, who has played like 17 years in college. The only guy that I'm really just kind of confused about is Nussmeier, who, like, I got to be honest with you, he's another one of those guys of, oh, he's got the intangibles, and the things you can tange don't blow you away.
Well, and that's the problem right now with a lot of this class, feels like a lot of the class has the intangibles and the things we're trying to actually, like, hey, he does this great in a football game, isn't really appearing.
But if you're a physically, I don't want to say limited guy, but comparative to Aller, Sellers, even Klubnik, if you're not that caliber of athlete or that caliber of arm like Nussmeier isn't, you better put up 5,000 yards. You better do what Joe Burrow did. You better do what Baker did. Like, that's what you need to do. And I think Nussmeier is the one, because he fits Stefanski's scheme to a T. Like, everything Kevin wants to do, assuming he's here next year, Garrett Nussmeier's the guy, and that's why I think the Browns have been linked so much to Garrett.
Oh, also fit the Saints scheme, too, where his dad is the offensive coordinator.
And I think you're willing it that way, and I don't hate it. But, no, I mean, I think, like, that's the only guy that I'm a little concerned about, but, like, I don't know.
It's too hard to tell. It's okay to say it's too hard to tell right now. I think it's just too incredibly hard. And if you're
and
trying
think,
to do it,
I think Emery knows that. Well, if you're that's trying to do it, that I think does bug me a little
bit. Well, but here's the thing, though. If you're going to try to do it Cam Ward versus Shedeur, on the Cam Ward side of things, you're going to get one quarterback that's one of one, so that'll be a split. No. And then every quarterback we're talking about, and maybe there'll be a Quinn Ewers-esque drop for one of them or so, or something like that. But for basically 80% of the quarterbacks we're going to discuss, they're going to end up being taken higher and better than Shedeur was. So it's going to be a split.
I think this sounded the alarm for a lot of Browns fans who heard this and were like, oh, crap. Because it is entirely possible. Like, some of this whole, we got to land the plane getting a quarterback, some of that's just, did you take a quarterback in the right year? And did you pick the right one of a good crop? Like, for instance, Jaden Daniels versus Caleb Williams, Drake May versus Caleb Williams, that kind of thing.
Well, but I think fans thought they were getting themselves into what was that Baker Mayfield class with Josh Allen and Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen and Lamar Jackson. I think they thought they were getting into that, and the early returns aren't there, but I would just say it's 3 weeks in. We can fast forward 5 weeks from now, and all the quarterbacks we're talking about have materialized into being the quarterbacks that everyone projected them to be before the season.
That's also a really, really good point, by the way, because most of the guys we're talking about haven't played a lot of competition.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that does matter, by the way. Not the, oh, you're playing down to your competition, but it's like, we're still kind of in the preseason of college football, where when you play La Tech or when you play Wyoming, like these are the kind of games where it's like, oh, okay, you didn't have the sexiest numbers. You beat them 70 to nothing, right? I just literally combined all the quarterbacks and the things you can say. When Drew Aller's going up against Ohio State, that's a huge matchup for how good is Drew Aller really. When he's going against this Michigan team or Illinois, or like that's where you're going to find out a bulk of who he is. And oh, by the way, even then, what does he look like in the playoffs? Well,
but you can't do it this early either when they do have those primetime matchups. It's like the Nussmeier-Klubnik thing has just gone off the rails because they played each other and we saw how that went. The Ohio State versus Texas game, Arch Manning, didn't look particularly good. People, it snowballed from that. And I just think it's just way too early to be this unfair.
Now, am I a little concerned? Yeah, a little concerned. But I think this idea that we got to wave the flag and say, they just didn't pick the right year, they need a quarterback. Well, you can't really worry about that. You got to do your own evaluation.
Yeah, and you got to get to the spot that you need to get to. And so you just continue. Now, we have not seen Haslam and his airplane, his private jet, land in other spots.
Now, are you tracking it?
No, I've fallen off on that. The flight tracking stopped after the first once we got the NFL season. I've stopped the flight tracker.
We got to get Volnick on it. You know,
is he a flight tracker guy?
I don't know, but remember, hasn't completely fulfilled gone up on his first year anniversary as a night show host.
Yeah.
And when you're at nights, you got to find your hook, your niche.
Yeah,
I think we got to get him on flight tracker. He's a young single guy. He's only 22. He's going to play a lot of video games all day. You can do that while flight tracking.
I just like him being like, well, why is Jimmy Haslam in Puerto Rico? I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, by the way.
And we just go to random spots that Jimmy Haslam ends up in.
By the way, there's another young single guy, very close to us, who might have an expertise as a research analyst, might have an expertise as like a WNBA aficionado that could use that flight tracking experience to better himself on the show.
That would be nice. That's a good thing. Yeah. Yes, of course. That's a good thing.
And Jake's married, so it can't be him. And you're married and not young, so it can't be you. I'm married and definitely not young, so it can't be me. As who could it be?
I don't know. I don't know who you're talking about here.
Yeah, I feel like there's somebody close to this show.
I am stumped.
That could do this, but who could it be?
I don't know.
Who could it be now?
I don't know.
Sting sings into a beautiful microphone.
No idea. I have no idea who you're talking about.
Okay, you killed the bit, Mac. You should have said,
yeah, I can look into it.
It's me. Yeah. Great job. 216-474-0092. You did such a good job in the open, though, earlier today, buddy.
Thanks, man. I
appreciate
it.
Really proud of you.
Yeah. Yeah,
we're very proud of you, Mac.
Yeah. Like, I appreciate it,
like
guys.
Joe
Thank
Flacco
you.
In the third quarter, you did fumble there, but you had him in the first half until you didn't. JK, LOL, you did have him, but now you don't. Is it too early to be concerned about the 2026 quarterback class? Yes, but it really would be nice to see Drew Aller throw for like 350 yards this weekend, just saying out loud. Or next weekend, or the weekend after that, sometime soon. The lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.